This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Mets kicking off the season this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Coverage on SNY begins at 3 o'clock with this guy who does a tremendous job on the pre- and post-game. He is former Met and Yankee Todd Zeal, who joins Bart and Han on 98.7 ESPN. Todd, it's Chris and Bart. We appreciate the time and finally some baseball to actually talk about. It's got to feel pretty good.
It's going to feel great, and I'm holding my breath that we have baseball on the field at 4 o'clock, as you're saying. So I think it's going to be a big exhale once that opening lineup is announced and guys are at the plate and guys are on the mound, and we're watching what we've been missing for months.
You know, Todd, when you look at this team with what's transpired with Syndergaard and Stroman, and the expanded playoffs announced yesterday, has the impetus changed for the Mets, or at least the roadmap for the Mets to make it to the postseason changed from being a very good pitching team to a team that's going to have to out-hit a lot of teams?
Yes, it has. I mean, it has at least modified itself at some level. And I think, look, I was very bullish on the Mets' chances this year. I think I'm one of the guys here that is considered a homer because I have these guys going all the way, and I really like their makeup. And it was really, I think at some level predicated on that starting pitching depth, that even with the loss of Syndergaard, I think they had viable replacements with Porcello and Waka. And then I think their bullpen has shored itself up as well. But the loss of Stroman, I thought, was a pretty big blow, and it's going to be interesting to see how long he's out. But let's assume that he's out for about half this season and misses half of his starts in such a sprint. I think this core lineup that was so good, especially the second half of 2019, is going to really have to be great this season and slug their way to some wins, as well as being able to inch out and produce some runs to get the close games. But you know what? I think this expanded playoff format has actually been a benefit to the Mets. It gives them a little bit more latitude to get into the playoffs. And then with a guy like DeGrom as your top guy, you've always got a chance to get out to a 1-0 lead in a three-game series. So I think that really sort of helps their chances to get further along if they can get there.
I mean, we heard Brody talk about it. We often talk about it around here, the second half of the Mets season. Well, it won't be a second half, so to speak, of this season. So how important is it for guys like Conforto and Rosario to get off to a fast start to really be able to provide some coverage for some of the other guys in the lineup? And also, is this something in which Brody may overreach because – it's so many opportunities to get in the playoffs that he may not see with clear eyes if they need to make a move at the trade deadline?
It's a good question. I can't really speak for what Brody is doing. I know that he's continually looking at things, whether it be near trade deadline or not. I know that the loss of Stroman has got to at least make him an active pursuer of starting pitching, but it's not like there's just guys with great arms just sitting out there ready to be had at this point. So I think it's interesting that you bring in Rosario and Conforto because I think that's insightful. I think that, there's some expectations out of the Alonzos, J.D. Davis, and McNeil that I think, really got a lot of focus in the second half of last season. But I think a guy like Conforto and a guy like Rosario, who had a great second half last season, and Conforto, a guy that had just kind of a an under the radar solid season again. I think it is important for those guys to be the balance in what some of this other Mets offense looks like. And I think it is important for a guy like Conforto to really have sort of a breakout season to lead this club. I think he's a guy that's got a high ceiling. I think he can lead them in a lot of different ways. And I look for him to really jump out of the gate and set the tone for this Mets team.
Todd Zeal, SNY, their coverage for opening day begins in less than an hour at 3 o'clock. Todd, I hate to use the word expect. So what's fair to, I guess, a little bit stronger than hope for from Yoenis Cespedes?
That's a good question. I think that what to expect out of him, I think, would be for him to get quality at bats, to DH more than he plays left field, and to be good. I think what would be better than expected is for Cespedes to return to 2015-type form, which, you know, some of the reports coming out of summer camp were saying that he looked that good. I think that would be, you know, icing on the cake and in the hope category. But I think at this point, we should expect that he's still a quality big league player, that he's got his swing back, he's got some bat speed back, and I think he's going to be surrounded by guys that are going to give him enough protection that he could really do some damage in the middle of this Mets lineup if he gets in a rhythm.
I mean, how great is the universal DH? I think it's right on time for Cespedes where he is in his career. But when I look at that bullpen, and, you know, that was a big disappointment last year. Familia looked solid in his first outing. Diaz looked a little shaky. Who is it most important for them to have a bounce-back year from?
I think it's honestly more important for Familia. And I think it's more likely for Familia as well. I mean, he looks in great shape. He's very motivated. It looked like he had some depth to his slider. He looked like he was confident throwing his split. And he had a really good summer camp. I think it's really important for Diaz to bounce back, but I think Luis Rojas is probably going to have a little bit of latitude with him because of this sprint. It may be a little bit more bullpen by committee, and I don't think he necessarily has to designate Diaz as his closer, if you will, in air quotes, and can use the guys that are having solid outings and that are ready to bounce back. And it could be, whether it be Lugo or Familia, with Gazelman down, I think there's going to be a lot of reliance on those guys, as well as Justin Wilson. So I think it would be kind of like we talked about with Cespedes. I think it would be a great bonus if he got back to, you know, pre-2019 form, but I don't think at this point it's at least an expectation.
Now, you mentioned Lugo. Do we anticipate maybe Lugo being moved into the starting rotation a little bit because of the loss of Stroman right now? Is he a natural fill-in for him for that spot, maybe?
Oh, gosh, that's the $64,000 question, right? I think, I think that Lugo could pitch anywhere. I think he's always said that he still feels that he's a starter. I think he could be fine in that rotation, but you have to also understand that with this sort of shortened, condensed version of spring training / summer camp, and him not having any expectation of being in that rotation until a day before they were getting ready to announce opening day lineups, I don't think he's stretched out. I think he's been geared to go one hard, try to recover for 2 days in a row with another day off. You can get multiple innings out of him, but I think that's a big difference than expecting him, especially in the sprint. You don't have a full season to kind of tune him up and get him stretched out. So I don't expect the Mets to play that card at this point. I think it would be a little premature, and I think it could have an impact on not only the bullpen, but Seth's ability to stay healthy if they tried to rush him into a starting rotation spot that he feels like he's got to stretch out in a short amount of time.
One or two more for Todd Zeal from SNY. He's got to go on the air here in a little bit. 3:00, their coverage begins. When you look at this kind of a situation that we're in, unprecedented, as a player, is this something, Todd, that you're only playing 60 games, but how much does that even out with the stress level that is going to be put on players this year?
I don't know. It's interesting because I think both sides have done a good job of trying to keep the health and safety protocols at a high to try to eliminate. And it's impossible to eliminate all risk. So no reason to even consider that a possibility. But I think the guys have, you know, considered that they're in as safe an element as they can be in with risk involved. And it's going to be incumbent upon them to concentrate on baseball. There's so many different variables this year, though, with no fans, limited travel, playing teams from primarily from your division and in the Eastern of the other leagues. So there's going to be enough to make things interesting that I think guys are going to stay motivated. But look, I think there is a sense of urgency out of the gate. That's the nature of having a sprint. But I think the expanded playoff roster has given a little latitude to that, because I think one of the things that nobody wanted to see was 20 games into a season, if a team gets off to a poor start, for them to mail it in because they don't think they have enough time left. So at least this gives everybody a chance to take a breath, acclimate to what this sprint looks like, and still have a chance to get to the postseason and maybe make something interesting happen in October.
With this season being a sprint, do we anticipate that there are going to be a lot of trades at the trade deadline, because everybody can realistically still be in it and be one player, one move away?
That's a great question. I'm always fascinated to what happens at trade deadlines. There seems to be trends in certain years. I think there's going to be some obvious buyers. I think there's pressure on teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers. Maybe there's buyers in somebody like the Rays, who have, by all accounts, a very good opportunity to get deep into the postseason. But, you know, considering that there's already been financial sacrifices made from ownership, teams may want to just take their chances with what they've got with this expanded playoff roster, instead of going out and making moves that could be, you know, something that costs them something of value in the future. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, who's in the forefront when that trade deadline comes up.
Last one for Todd Zeal. It's a two-part question. Todd, I worked prior to you being there at SNY for 8 years. One question I've never gotten a true answer to, as closely as I worked with him: is Gary Apple's hair real? And secondly, do you feel as if him wearing glasses this year could throw off and you at all in any of your analysis, because that is a severe look change?
Oh, that, you know, those are the easiest questions in the world. Absolutely, his hair is real, and I don't mind his glasses at all. As a matter of fact, you know, I think the contacts sometimes are troubling for him and give him some irritation in his eyes. So, hey, if Gary can see, that means he can read the prompter and he can look me in the eye. And, hey, if I was able to wear my glasses, if I didn't look like such a nerd, I'd probably wear my glasses on, because I can see like an eagle if it's outside of 5 feet. But if I'm trying to read my notes, no chance. I got to put it in a very large font.
Well, Todd, listen, appreciate it. Enjoy it this afternoon. Again, SNY's coverage begins at 3 o'clock. Thanks again.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.